like the lowly Jesus. Amen. Born in a manger. Amen. According to God. Amen. Live a perfect life according to God. Rose from the dead according to God. And coming back one day for you and I according to God. Everything is according to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Everything is according to God. It's like the Lord has took, I know, men's fellowship in another dimension. A higher depth of what? According to God. Ephesians 3:11. Everything is according to God. And Deacon Gavin's going to preach the word of God today. According to God. Your life is according to God. But this time, without any further ado, we're going to move forward in our service. And again, thank God for everyone here. You're so blessed this morning. We're all blessed. Because somebody said, I'm going through so much. Are you in Christ? You're blessed. Amen. At this time, without any further ado, we're going to be blessed today with the word of God today. Amen. The doctrine, the gospel of the grace of God. At this time, I'm going to step aside and let the Holy Spirit, through the vessel of Deacon Howard Gavin, today bring us forward with the gospel of the grace of God. Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen.
From the outset, we have a long way to go in scriptures. Amen. So let us begin to seek the help, the enablement, that without which naught can be accomplished. Nothing. Let us pray. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father indeed, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to speak, Lord, on the behalf of Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone present, every listening ear, Lord, and under the sound of my voice immediately, and Lord God, throughout this earth, according to the web broadcast. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon your people this day with enlightenment, comprehension, O God, and encouragement as you have eternally determined and designed for each of us incrementally. Now, Lord, bless your servant. Bless your word. Bless your people for Christ's sake and in his holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles, as we always do in this study, in this ministering of God's sovereignty. This ministering session is regarding God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Elder William Liverman is our designated reader. And Elder, where I always start, will you turn, and those in our immediate presence and all, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we are going to look at verses 1 through 7. As we seek to convey to you, by the enablement and aid of the Holy Spirit of God, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty. You understand sovereignty. Sovereign nation, sovereign state. You get in one state and make a right turn on red, and they pull you over and say, well, we did it back in my state. You're not in your state. This is a sovereign state. They have laws guiding and governing them. We have laws governing in that particular state. So, sovereignty means absolute right. Exactly what it means, no less. God's absolute right in, and here comes that word that is so disdained throughout Christendom, in election. Election is just what it means, choosing. God chose some and rejected others. I'm going to prove it scripturally. Scripturally. Amen. God's absolute right in election, choosing some to salvation. Salvation means our eternal not temporary, our eternal sonship position in Christ Jesus or in the body of Christ. It means that we are safe from ultimate harm. We are safe from ultimate harm. You may get in what we call an accident or a predicament, but that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is not in time and in physicality. The ultimate is in spirituality and eternality. That's the ultimate. That's the last word. Amen. Salvation. God's sovereignty, his absolute right. Amen. As creator of all things, all individuals, God's sovereignty in election, choice, choosing to salvation, eternal placement in the body, amen, of Christ. That is us. And yes, God has his elect in every dispensation, all the seven dispensations, but we are the only ones that are designated the body of Christ. Israel and those Gentiles saved through Israel, blessed through Israel in blessing, they will inherit the eternal earth. The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven unto the earth is for their habitation. All creation is ours. Earth and everything that is. I hear some millions of galaxies in existence in the universe. All that, and if there is anything else, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of that which belonged to Christ. And according to Colossians 1:16-17, all creation is in him, Christ, visible and invisible. Amen. Thrones, amen, everything is in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. If you have Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to ask Elder to read verses 1 and 2 as usual, my usual manner is. 1 and 2 from the King James Version, and verses 3 through 7 from the interlinear Greek text. Now, as many or most or even all know that the Bible, the part that we call the New Testament, in which is the Grace Testament, those 14 epistles that were revealed by our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, the Grace Testament, amen, is in what the compilers of the Bible call the New Testament. You have the New Testament, and in those 14 epistles of the Apostle Paul that he wrote, we have the Grace Testament. The New Testament replaces the Old. Whomsoever the Old Testament was unto, the New is to them also. It just replaces the Old. We were never under law. So in that we have the Grace Testament. It was not written in English. It was written in the Greek language according to God. You'll hear that statement much, as you already have and will. It was written in Greek, and the compilers of the Bible and the interpreters of the Bible, they were not peasants or someone that was unlearned. They were members of the Church of England that translated the King James Version. They were denominated. So they had denominational beliefs. And so they were learned, some in the Greek language, Greek scholars, and they translated the New Testament, in which is the Grace Testament, from Greek into English. So being denominated in the Church of England, they had preconceived scriptural opinions upon the scriptures, upon the text. They were not unlearned men. They had preconceived scriptural opinions, what they believed. And oftentimes, they brought that over in their translation. In your Bibles, you'll see oftentimes words that are in different print than other words. It's called italics. Italics mean foreign words. They do not belong in the original text. And they place in sometime italics or words in italics according to their preconceived understanding, what they understood, or what was given them to understand of the scriptures. Now, problem come in sometime. Sometime they put the words in italics to let us know they deviated from the actual rendering, and sometime they did not. And so we use the tool, what is called exegesis. One of the tools called exegesis. It's just like it sounds. The prefix ex. Exit means go out. Exhale means breathe out. Exhume means dig up out. And extreme means way out. We use the tool of exegesis to dig. We go to the original language to dig out the literal meaning. Not to be saved, but to be informed of our salvation. And we're going to see those things that I have mentioned. We're going to prove them scripturally. Ella Liverman, yes. Would you please begin reading at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in the King James Version and 3 through 7 in the interlinear Greek text.
Ephesians chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 1 through 2, mm-hmm. King James Version.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God.
By the will of God.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
To the saints which are being in Ephesus. The church, members of the church, the body of Christ. Not to Israel. And those Gentiles that are joined to Israel, the Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius' household, and in the Old Testament, Rahab, Ruth, and the multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel. According to the Abrahamic promise, there will always and will be Gentiles that are blessed in and according to Israel's blessing. Of course, they suffered also when Israel disobeyed. Okay. Read, Ella.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
The faithful in Christ Jesus, what?
Verse 2, grace be to you,
grace to you,
and peace from God our Father.
Ah, and peace. So there's your grace. Grace means undeserved kindness. I know we say unmerited, unearned favor, but undeserved kindness. Favor that is bestowed without earning it, without doing something to get it. Grace and peace. Now you know where your peace is. Grace and peace from God our Father. That's where the peace is. It's not in the earth. Sometimes it's not in our home. Sometimes it's not even in our minds. But grace and peace from God our Father. Now everyone in here came into physical being through a father, even if it was by artificial insemination. You came from a male progenitor. And they were our fathers, but our fathers according to, we look like them, we walk like them, we act like them, we're shaped like them, and we die like them. But here it tells us that God is our Father. He is eternal. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, unlimitedly present everywhere, and he is eternal. And we know it's not talking about this when you say he's our Father. He's our eternal Father according to our eternal spirit. He is our Father indeed. And we are just like him. It just has not been manifested. Manifest means what comes out, what you see, what is before you, the seeing. That's what manifested is. And there's another term that it contrasts manifestation. It is called actualization. Actualization is by God's decree. What God has eternally determined, which is everything. He has decreed, determined everything. You remember in the Gospels, Jesus said, a sparrow don't fall to the ground without your heavenly Father. Nothing is without God. Evil can't subsist or exist or operate excepting God had decreed it. Read Isaiah 45, verse 7. The Lord had to create evil. Where is it going to come from? How is it going to come in God's, the Almighty God's creation, if it wasn't decreed in and created for his purpose, God's purpose? God uses all things, even our shortcomings, our wrongdoings, our mishaps, as we call them. God uses everything for his ultimate and eternal glory. Let's look at it. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, or the Father of us, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 on, Elder, through verse 7 from the interlinear Greek text. Remember, we are talking about God's sovereignty in choosing some. I'm going to add it now. We're going to bring it in scripturally shortly. Choosing some, picking out some, selecting some to salvation, not all. Us and them. Chosen of God and them, the world. There is a difference. Ella, verse 3, interlinear Greek text.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
He is Lord. He is Lord. We belong to him. Everything that we have belongs to him. I found out my little hybrid, you know, I was put in realization by Elder Sister Karen the other week. My little hybrid belonged to God. When I'm zipping around town, I thought it was mine. Everything we have, our knowledge, our stash belongs to God. It's on loan. And all of it is temporary. Only what we brought in here is eternal. And what the scriptures say, we brought nothing in and we carry nothing out but our salvation. Let's look at verse 4. We brought our salvation, our belonging, who we are, who we actually truly are. We brought that in. And that's what we, so to speak, carry out. When our consciousness are taken back where we actually abide, truly, actually abide, our salvation is right there intact. Go ahead, Ella.
They having blessed us. With every blessing spiritual.
In, that Greek word is epsilon-ni, in every blessing spiritual. What we have in physicality and time, it may come, it may go. Some of us know that experientially. God knows what I had when I retired went. It ran off. Bless Jesus. thee, having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual, our actualized blessing, those that go nowhere, they are eternal. And they are in the heavenlies, and the heavenlies, according to the script, are in Christ, all creation. Colossians 1, 16, 17. All creation, everything is in Christ. Amen. Everything. Verse 4, Elder, here we go.
Verse 4. As he chose us in him.
Now, I didn't put that there. I didn't put chose in here. This is the script. As he chose, picked out, selected us in him. Us, not them. Us that are his, that belong to him. He chose us. And he didn't do it the day we got baptized, or the day we were on the mourner's bench, or the day we came down and shook the preacher's hand. That was process. That was the course that the Lord brought us in process. But it didn't change who we actually were. He chose us. Aorist tense. Aorist tense is a completed action. You say, well, when was it completed? It was always completed. Just like present. Eternal present. You got the present in time or now in time. And then you have eternal present, where everything is. Nothing changes. Nothing sequences. Everything is. Eternity. No time allowed in eternity. None there. Time is here. It's a creation. And we were placed in it for God's purpose. To do his will. To glorify him. For his purpose to be manifested, shown in our life, in our course. He's Lord. He's our God. He's the eternal one. He's the creator. He's the omnipotent one. Read, Elder.
Before foundation of world.
Before the creation of world, we were chosen in him before. Before the creation or foundation of the world. Before. Before we rock back and forth on the mourner's bench. Some of us did it. I shook the preacher's hand. I was baptized some every kind of way. I didn't know I was saved eternally. But in process, when we know better, we do better. All of us in here came up as children. We didn't know better until we learned better. If God has given us light of his, the light of his word, as opposed to the denominational belief, we have the script rightly divided, properly exegeted. He chose us in him before the foundation or creation of the world. What else did he do, Ella?
Before foundation of world, to be us holy and unblemishable.
It's got to be.
Unblemished.
It's got to be there. That's because it's a present infinitive. And in English, we put in the English, we typically put the word to in front of the word, but it gives it a future inference or connotation. This is a present infinitive. Present, right now. So it's not to be, in essence, in actuality, being holy. That means separated, not the length of your dress or the texture of your hair. We are separated unto him. We belong to him. We are his dear ones. Being holy. And this next one will get you. Unblemished. That means without spot. Stain. You mean with, after all I've done, I'm unblemished in your eternal, actualized essence. You are unblemished.
Amen.
Because all of our blemishes went somewhere. That's where they went. Every one of them. Every thought that's not like Christ. Every deed. Every intent. He bore all of our sins. They were placed on him. He suffered. He suffered for us. Christ. He didn't bear most of them. He bore every sin for his elect, for God's dear ones, for us. Those that are not God's elect, they are eternally separated from him, as we will see again. Read, Ella.
Unblemished before him.
Before him.
In love.
In love. Not it begrudgingly, but in love. We are unblemished before him in love. God loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Praise God. We are because we were. He chose us in him before the foundation of creation of the world. Being holy, separated unto him. We are different from those that don't, not his dear ones. And unblemished, because our sins, all of them, were placed on Christ. Read, Allah. In love what?
In love. Predestinating us to adoption of sons.
Now that sounds like a present tense. But I assure you, I looked this up. That's what we call the aorist tense. Again, the aorist tense is a completed action. It's in the Greek. It wasn't written in English. It was translated into English. The aorist tense is a completed action. In love, having predestinated us. You know, destination, the route, the end, It was preset, our lives, our course in time. Preset by the one who loves us eternally. Bless Jesus. Glory to God. In love, having predestinated us to what?
To adoption of sons through Jesus Christ.
Sonship positioning.
To him.
Through Jesus Christ. Sonship positioning. To Jesus Christ. To God. To himself. And what else, Elder?
According to the good pleasure of the will of him.
The pleasure of the will of him. It was his good pleasure. According to the good pleasure of the will of him. In my most despicable state, the Lord loved. In my worst times, when I was in the very pit of the hole of depravity and sin and ungodliness, I mean rampant ungodliness, I didn't know I belonged to him. Do you think the Apostle Paul knew that he belonged to the Lord when he was killing Christians? Do you think they believed he belonged to the Lord when he was persecuting, chasing them? Killing them. No way. No way would they have believed it until it was shown or manifested unto them. Praise God. Praise God. Read on, Elder.
True praise of glory.
To the praise of the glory.
Of the grace.
Of the grace.
And that's of him.
The grace of God. Of him, his grace, undeserved kindness, no merit, unmerited favor. God, amen, served upon us, unmerited, undeserved, unworked for, Finish that, Ella.
The grace of him.
Of him.
Of he favored with which he favored us in the having been loved.
In which he favored us in the having been loved. That is what we call the perfect tense, and it's in the passive voice. Passive voice means you didn't do it. Perfect tense means a completed action with ongoing results right down to the present. So whenever the present is or was, God's love, God's grace, it holds us. It captivates us. Hallelujah. If our time was in 18th century, that was the present, his love. If we continue, or those of us continue into the 21st century or 22nd, his love. All right.
Amen.
Verse 7.
In whom we have.
In whom we have. Not
the redemption.
In whom we have. In him. In Christ. We have the redemption.
Through the blood of him.
And there it is. The payment price. The blood. The blood of him. And what else do we have that I've been going ahead talking about, Ella? Say it.
The forgiveness of trespasses.
The forgiveness of trespasses, all of them. Otherwise, we'd have to pay for them ourselves. If they weren't all paid for, God is righteous, God is holy. If they weren't all paid for, we would have something to answer for. But they have all been placed on Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins.
According to the riches of the grace of him.
And it's by grace, because we had it eternally. We had it eternally. Not in time. Say, well, I didn't know it. We had it. A whole lot of things that are that we don't know. We had it all the while. We had it when we thought we were getting saved by shaking the preacher's hand. We had it when we were going down in the water, thinking that that saved us, secured our salvation. We had it. Praise be Jesus. This truth, Paul said to the Ephesians in the third chapter, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Israel had a truth. Noah had a truth. Adam had a truth. Praise God. And the saints in the tribulation, they have a truth. We will be out of here. They have a truth. This is our truth that was given by our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ for the grace church, us. This is our truth. If we're going to take Israel's truth, we got to take it all. Stop eating catfish. Stop wearing wrong clothing together. Wash or baptize everything, your house and everything else. We got to take it all. We can't take the parts that we favor. If we're going to abide under the Lord, it's over 2,000 laws, we got to take it all. Jesus said, if you keep the whole law and offend in how many points, you've broken how much of it? All of it. Thank God we are under grace. We are those having been saved. Now again, I'm going to go as far, Elder, my second scriptures. I'm staying with this because throughout the church world, listen to me carefully, throughout the church world, God's people, and don't run out and say, tell anybody that Deacon Gavin said that folk not saved because they don't believe in grace. Throughout Christendom, throughout the church world, throughout denominations, God's people think that you have to get saved and stay saved, and that God loves everybody. I'm going to scripturally prove it. I was wondering, I got up late. I wonder why that clock was so far ahead. Ella and congregation, turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and I'll have to pick my pace up. Romans chapter 9. We are talking from the subject matter and the document that the Lord gave our pastor Ella Cutler to write, God's Sovereignty, and it's on the website. It's on the website for the world to view. God's sovereignty, or anyone in the world, in election to salvation. God's sovereignty, or absolute right, in choosing some unto salvation. Ella, we're going to start at verse 11, and I want you to read through. We're going to forego the King James Version, and we're going to read directly from the interlineal Greek text. And sometimes he deviated because he as well, the compiler of the interlinear Greek text, had preconceived doctrinal opinions on the scriptures. We all have some prejudices. And sometimes he deviated from the actual rendering. But I'm going to try to catch him. And the reason we use it is because he have the Greek word right above the supposed English word up under it, interpreted English word. And this is why. But we don't stop there. We use the tool of exegesis to dig out the literal meaning. All right, Ella, begin reading. I said earlier, there are us and them. Us and them. Children of God and the world. They are not us and we are not them. They can never be us, and we can never be them. Praise God. With all of our faults and our shortcomings, Christ died for them. We still, there's nothing right but righteousness. Nothing is right but righteousness, or what God has laid out. That's the only thing that's right. Washington don't determine what's right, nor any of the governments in the world. The scriptures, the Creator had scripted to us, determines what is right.
Amen.
Ella began reading at verse 11 of the 9th chapter of Romans.
Romans chapter 9, beginning with the first, with the 11th verse, interlinear Greek text. For not yet being born.
For not yet being born.
Nor practicing any good.
We're talking about election now. God choosing some and rejecting others. We're talking about us and them. We that having been saved eternally and those that can never be saved. Scripturally. Scripturally. For not yet being born, this is in the aorist tense, this was predetermined, as everything else is, predetermined. It is processed or transacted or played out in the created entity, God's created entity of time. But it is eternally spoken or decreed of God.
Yes.
He created time for manifestation only, or for showing creation and creatures what he has eternally willed and purposed. And that's why we have all these aorist tenses and even passive voices that speak to us that we didn't do it. He did it. For not yet being born,
nor practicing any good or bad.
That's an aorist tense. Nor having practiced according to God. According to what he had predetermined eternally, having practiced or done anything good, read it,
or bad,
anything good or bad,
In order that, The according to choice.
The according to choice.
Purpose of God.
Purpose of God what?
Might remain.
Might remain. It's a present subjunctive. Might remain because it has been decreed of God. That's the only way a thing can manifest if it is already decreed. If it's decreed, it must manifest. In your life, in your body, in your surrounding, your neighborhood, in the world, in your mind. If it's decreed, it must manifest. If it's not decreed, it cannot manifest, not in God's creation. Maybe they got another creation. No, I'm just in jest. Sarcasm. Praise God. Not in God's creation. All right, according to choice, purpose of who? God might remain.
Might remain.
Verse 12. Here it is. Here it is.
Verse 12. Not of works.
Not of works.
But of the calling. But of the calling.
But of the calling. Now here calling is in the present tense. But I'm going to show you coming down through the script. The calling in the present tense as the Lord call us. And causes us to know that we are His, to understand that we belong to Him. It is always according to the calling of God in eternity. Here it's in the present tense. Further down, it is in the aorist tense. If it has not been decreed, it cannot manifest. If it has been decreed, it must manifest. So that leads us. In facing the things of this life, as we encounter them, whatever they are, we ask, we pray God to ask. Even when we make a wrong turn like I did and got caught up, took me 20 minutes to get back on the right path, or the path that I wanted, the path that I wanted. Everything. According to God and His purpose. Everything in our lives, we ask, Lord, not what is this, but what is this for? If it has not been decreed, it can't manifest. If it has been decreed, that's the stuff that manifests in front of us, whether we like it or not. What do we read on, Ellen? I got to move. Not of works.
Not of works.
Uh-huh.
But of the calling.
All right.
It was said to her.
It was said to her, Rebecca, Isaac's wife. Isaac, Abraham's son. It was said to her. Aorist, indicative, passive voice. It had to be decreed, else it would not have been said. Uh-huh. What was said to her?
The greater will serve the lesser.
The greater, the eldest son who received the most of the blessings will serve the younger son who typically received the residual blessings. And that is the problem behind what's going on in the Middle East. The greater, who was the firstborn of Abraham, did not receive the blessing spelled out unto the younger, the son of Abraham's old age and his wife of her old age. The greater will serve the lesser. And verse 13.
Even as it has been written.
Perfect indicative, passive voice. It was written.
Jacob I love, but Esau I hated.
Another stumbling block in the church world. Again, folk, I looked it up. This does not mean love less. God chose Jacob, the schemer, and rejected Esau that manifested the better character. The schemer belonged to him. The one that exhibited better character did not and could never. It means hated. It means despised. It means that God stood away from him. Yes, he blessed him. But in endearment, he stood away from him and embraced the schemer. Read, Ella.
Esau, I hate it. Verse 14.
Let me say this. You can't look at anybody and tell whether they belong to the Lord or whether they do not. What, do you think the Apostle Paul was right inviting Christians that believed on Christ to a getaway when he ran them down? You think he was inviting them to a resort? He killed those that believed on Christ, not knowing all the time that he belonged to him also. Not knowing all the while that he was an apostle while he was trying to stamp out that which he would later, according to God, render his life for, that gospel, that truth. Read, Elder.
Verse 14.
Uh-huh.
What therefore shall we say?
So then, what do we say with this information from the script? What should we say? Mm-hmm.
Not unrighteousness with God?
Not unrighteousness with God.
May it not be.
May it not be. That is an aorist tense in the middle voice, and it's in the octave mood. An octave mood is in the, that which is in the form of a prayer. Paul is saying, may it not be. There is not unrighteousness with God. Everything was predetermined. God set the course for everything in his creation. Everything and everybody. Everybody. Bless his name. Read on, Elder.
To Moses, for he says, I will have mercy mm-hmm. on whomever I have mercy,
I will.
And I will pity mm-hmm. whomever I pity.
That's sovereignty. That's sovereignty. God's absolute right. And we're going to see why he'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy and whom not. No way they can receive the mercy of God. All right. Carry it on, Elder.
Verse 16. So therefore, not of the wishing,
all right,
nor of the running.
That is what we call a superordinating conjunction, the great contrast. So therefore, it not of the wishing or the willing,
but of the having mercy God.
But it's according to God whether he has had mercy or not. Remember it was Esau, that though he sought it carefully with tears, he couldn't regain the birthright because it was predeterminately given to Jacob. Read on, Ella.
Verse 17.
Uh-huh.
For says the scripture.
To Pharaoh.
For this very thing,
and that's an aorist indicative, it was predetermined in eternity before the creation of the world and before the creation of time. Aorist indicative, aorist tense is a completed action, and indicative mood is a fact. And a fact is a thing that's done. It was done in God's saying, his determination, his decree. It was done then. God spoke everything into existence. Everything. One thing. Genesis is revelation. And he said, let there be. And he said, let there be. God, from our truth, our gospel, which is the greater in knowledge and comprehension, one thing. God created the worlds or the ages through a saying. A saying. Read the other.
Verse.
I raise thee up.
I raise thee up.
Uh-huh. So for what?
Purpose. So as I may show forth in thee.
That I may, talking to Pharaoh, or Moses, God told Moses what to say to Pharaoh.
Power of me.
That I may show forth in you the power of me. Not that with us, that we belong to him and we were accepted in the beloved. But this is why God, listen to it, God raised him up for this purpose. He created him, brought him on the scene for this purpose, that he might show his power in him. And what else, Elder?
And so as might be published abroad.
Might having been, aorist and tense, if it's not decreed, it cannot manifest. If it is decreed, it must manifest. That might having been published abroad.
The name of me.
There may be a might is in time how it manifests. The actual of it, and it must manifest of it
in all the earth.
Aorist tense. In all the earth. And they talked about it too. They had folk running scared when God took them across the sea, delivered them from Egypt, spoiled the Egyptians, and it's talked about now to this day, the might, the power of God. Yes. Read, Elder.
Verse 18.
Uh-huh.
So therefore.
Conjunction, subordinating, subordinating conjunction. So, therefore.
Mm-hmm. Whom he wishes, he has mercy. But whom he wishes, he hardens.
That word, Greek word is theleo. The better rendering is God don't wish for anything. Oh, I hope. I'm going to try to harden him. I'm going to try to harden him. No, God will. In which God will him harden. Pharaoh couldn't let the children of Israel go until the Lord gave him leave to do it if grandmother and everybody prayed for him to their God. He couldn't. In process, he wouldn't. That's the way we saw it on the movie. And that's the way it appeared in that scriptural text. He wouldn't let them go. But in scriptural exegesis, he couldn't. He couldn't. Because God hardened him. He couldn't let them go until the Lord had fulfilled his purpose. And you and I today, we're not going anywhere until God's purpose has been fulfilled in us. And when God's purpose, I know it's not a funeral, and when God's purpose is fulfilled in us, we go home where we come from.
I hear you.
In consciousness. We have earthly consciousness God give us to deal with physicality and those things around us in the physical creation. But like the Apostle Paul, when he was drugged outside of Lystra and stoned, they thought to death, knocked unconscious. He was not conscious in physicality. He didn't know that his brethren were standing around him. He probably didn't know when the last rock hit him. But he was caught up in the real. In the real. The third heavens. He was very conscious. He heard things. And he knew where he was. Read on, Ella.
Thank God. Verse 19.
All right.
Thou wilt say to me, therefore.
Therefore.
Why still finds he fought?
Uh-huh.
For the counsel of him. Who resisted?
Who resisted? True. You can't resist the Almighty. Not sort of mighty. Almighty. Read, Elder.
Verse 20.
20.
O man.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, rather, thou who art the replying against God.
Or who art thou that repliest against God, that argues against God's counsel, his will?
Not will say not will the say thing form.
The thing form.
To the having formed.
To the having formed it.
Why madest thou thus?
Or me thus.
Or who has not authority?
Or who has not authority?
The potter of the clay.
Speaking of God, of the clay, the potter of the clay.
Out of the same lump.
Out of the same lump.
To make this to honor
to,
vessel.
To having made.
That to dishonor.
Before the creation of time and everything. To having determined or to having decreed. I said they put two in the English, two in front of an infinitive. That's the English way, but it gives it a future connotation. This is an aorist infinitive. To having made. To having made what again, Elder? This.
If willing God, to show forth the wrath and to make known the ability of him.
To show forth, having shown, aorist indicative, passive voice. The world has nothing to do with this selection, nor do we. We have nothing to boast about, nothing to stick our chest out about. That's why it's of grace. It was given before creation, let alone us coming along thousands of years later in this. It was already given who we are. Already. Begin there again, Ellie. Begin that verse again.
But if willing.
I looked it up. Willing. God doesn't wish for anything. But if willing, God, what?
To show forth, having shown.
What?
The wrath and to make known.
The wrath, his wrath. And to make known.
The ability of him.
Having made known the ability or power of him.
Bore in much long suffering,
aorist indicative, predetermined, everything was already done. What we see or what transpires is manifestation. God created and determined everything in actualization. He brought everything into existence.
Thank God.
He's not sort of mighty, saints. He's almighty. Beyond our physical comprehension, he's almighty. And we can't ourselves fully comprehend who we are, what we have, and where we abide gloriously while we are in these bodies. Not fully. All right? Wrath. He showed wrath.
Vessels of wrath. Having been fitted for destruction.
You ever seen a bricklayer do something? A bricklayer make a wall or a chimney or something? He fit the bricks. He don't just chunk them. I purposely use chunk. I know it's not proper English. He don't just throw the brick. He fit it. Every brick is fitted. The non-elect. According to God, for God to show his wrath, they have been properly fitted. All of them. For what, Elder?
Fitted for destruction.
I didn't write this. God has purposed them, assigned to them the destruction. They can never be saved. But we don't know who they are. So we can't run around talking about you going to burn in? We don't know.
Oh, God mercy.
But for the grace of God, but for his grace, he chose us and rejected others. That's why I went back and showed the choice between Jacob and Esau. Esau had the better character. Jacob was the shyster. Finish that up, Elder, to verse 23. Finish it.
Verse 23.
All right, let's see what verse 23 says. Now we see the non-elect fitted purpose unto wrath. They cannot change it. The passive voice in the aorist tense. They cannot change who they are. Let's see if we can. Read it, Elder, verse 23.
Verse 23.
And I'm down.
And in order that he might make known the riches of the glory of him.
The riches of the glory of him. What did he do?
On the vessels of mercy.
On the vessels of mercy.
Which he previously prepared for his glory.
You hear that? He previously prepared. Aorist indicative. He previously prepared us for his glory. He previously purposed them unto destruction. The sovereignty of God, God's absolute right in election to salvation. God's absolute right in election, choosing some unto salvation. Saints, it's all about God's grace. So, in going forward, if you haven't yet, pray God that he calls you to thank him for his precious, eternal, excellent, supreme, surpassing, glorious, God's grace. God bless you.